This is an interview with Adelina Arismondo, née Marchioro. Adelina is also known as Lina. The interview is being conducted in Lina's home in Cowandilla, South Australia, on the 9th of June 2010. Lina, we're going to start with your background. Can you tell me when and where you were born?
Well, I was born in Adelaide, in the city of Adelaide, on the 12th of March, 1927.
And I think you were born in Hindley Street.
In a boarding house in Hindley Street. My uncle owned the boarding house.
And was that your uncle on your mother's side?
On my mother's side.
And how long had he been here?
Oh, about 4 years before my mother came.
Right. And I guess that would have been the reason that your parents came.
He sponsored them.
Oh, right. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And the date of your birth is really just a year after your parents arrived.
Yes.
Your parents arrived in March of...
1st of March, 1926.
Mm. And can you tell me about your parents, when they were born and where they were born?
Well, my father was born in Malo, a province of Vicenza.
In the Veneto region.
In the Veneto region. And my mother's Monte di Malo, on the province of Vicenza.
And your father's name was?
Francesco.
And he was born in what year?
28th of October 1901.
And your mother's name was?
Margherita. And she was born on the 26th of the 5th, 1904.
So when they arrived in Adelaide, they were in their 20s.
Yes.
So they were probably pretty energetic and...
full of hope.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And what a big thing.
Although they thought they'd only stay a few years. Oh. Only a few years until they'd made enough money to live comfortably in Italy. Didn't work out that way.
No. And you've told me that as a young child, you moved fairly often with your parents.
Yeah, in Adelaide.
So you moved from Hindley Street to...
We went to Sturt Street, Gilbert Street, and then the last one was Weymouth Street, and that was before we came here to Lockleys.
And when your parents arrived, they brought your sister, who was
6 months old.
6 months old.
Maria.
And then by the time your family moved to the Market Garden, there was another daughter.
Well, that was later, 1938. My sister was born.
Right. And when your parents were living in the city of Adelaide, what was your father doing?
He worked for my uncle, my mother's brother, who had the terrazzo business, and he worked for him.
Right. Mm. And in Adelaide, worked...
In Adelaide, well, around Adelaide. I think they had part of the building of Government House, I believe, my father used to tell me, and the Adelaide Railway Station. They did all the terrazzo there.
Wow.
Del Fabbro was with them too.
Right. Hard work.
Yeah, yes, hard work.
Yeah. Mm. And do you know, so if your parents arrived in 1926, what year did they move to the Market Garden?
Well, I was about 6 or 7.
Okay, so that would have made you, that would have made it, say, early 1930s.
Yes.
And do you know why they moved?
Well, my uncle had arrived in Australia, and he...
And that's Johnny Marchioro's
Johnny's
father.
And he did suggest that Dad and he had a market garden at Lockleys. That's where most of the Italians went. And yeah, at that from that Veneto region, they went to Lockleys.
Oh, that's the Frogmore Road.
Frogmore Road. We call it Lockleys, Frogmore Road.
Mm.
But my father kept on working in the terrazzo while Uncle and Mum worked the garden.
And
they shared the profits and expenses, of course.
And you've told me that your mother was a very strong, physically strong
yes.
woman.
I have to call. Yes, she was.
Mm. Mm.
Very energetic.
And
strong-minded too.
Yes, she probably had to be, I imagine.
Well, yes. With,
can you remember moving to Frogmore Road?
No, I don't remember the actual moving. No, I don't.
Mm. Mm.
I just remember that I used to come down with my mother and my sister, Mary, or Maria, to work on the garden. But then we'd go home at night time.
And your home was on Frogmore Road?
Well, it wasn't built then. Dad built it later on when he got some money.
So
he built this wooden iron house.
Oh, okay. So you were still living in the city?
For a short time, yes.
And you and your mum would and your sister would go and work on the market garden and then go back home?
Back home, yes.
And how did you travel?
Well, your tram went to Torrens Road, Torrens Avenue.
Along Henley
Beach Road. And we used to walk from Henley Beach Road down to to Frogmore Road, and we had to cross that river, as I said.
Just a very narrow plank.
Narrow plank.
Across the torrents.
Across the torrents. And then when it was floating on the top of the water, we'd have to go back Henley Beach Road and come round on Rouse Road and
cross the bridge,
the Keel Bridge.
Yeah, that connected Rouse Road with Findon
Road.
Yes,
right? Yes.
An extra long walk.
It was, yes.
And do you remember, you know, when you were working with your mum?
Well, I didn't actually do any work.
So you went there probably...
I was only a child, I don't know.
Seven or eight,
I suppose. Yeah. I didn't do any work. I remember, though, once I went and tried to see if the watermelons were ripe, and I put little tiny slots and pulled out the slots to see if they were ripe. And because they all went rotten, because they weren't ripe, of course. And by the time that the watermelon got ripe, it was rotten.
And
that's the only work I'd ever did.
It wasn't found out who did it.
Oh, I suppose they knew who did it. Yeah.
And tell me about the house. So you said that your dad built
iron house, yes.
And what was that like? How big?
I suppose the rooms are all at least 12 by 12 feet and two bedrooms and the kitchen. And Mum always wanted a dining room, but which we never used. It was a spare room, but she used to like have a dining room.
Mm. And what would the floor have
cement
been?
Cement floors. Cement. But they'd put lino on top of the cement.
Right. And would there have been plumbing in those days? Like, did you have water?
Yes,
and
my father did all that.
Yeah.
He knew how to do all that.
Yeah. And when your family moved there, I guess the market gardening would have begun in earnest then.
Yes.
And what were your parents growing?
Mainly potatoes and onions and beetroot and trombone.
Right. So at that time there weren't glass houses?
No, not then.
Right.
No.
So it would have been very labour intensive.
Well, my uncle
work.
did the hard work there, heavy work, and my mother helped planting and picking the crop. That was her work. But Uncle did all the heavy work. Of course, he had a horse and plough
And you were telling me that there were quite a few families that were doing the same kind of work.
Same, and nobody had glass houses then, couldn't afford to build them.
Right, yeah. And one of the things that you told me that's really interesting was that your mother remembered going into the city of Adelaide in 1927 when something special happened. Can you tell me about that? The royal visit
of the Duke of York and Elizabeth. Yes, they came to for a visit in Adelaide.
And your mum told you that Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth, was just a baby.
She was about 6 months old, yes. Yes, she said the mother, she was holding the baby in her arms, so I presume it was only about 6-7 months old.
Must have been a very exciting occasion for people in 1927.
Yes.
Yeah. And of course, there's an interesting story about the railway carriage.
That's right. When Tonelato, his family came from Italy, I think it was the cheapest thing to do was to buy a carriage to put all his, because he had five children, I think. Yeah. Four boys and a girl, and that suited him and his family. His lovely carriage it was.
And do you remember it?
Oh yes, yes. The Rosina, the daughter, she used to be so proud of it, and she'd be polishing it inside. Beautiful.
Because
yeah.
I think it was all beautifully decorated and wood,
lovely
and velvet.
Beautiful wood and velvet. Yes.
Mm. Must have seemed like a palace.
Palace or what?
Yeah. And the vagone, as it was called.
The corner vagone, yes.
Yeah. How far was that from your house on Frogmore Road?
Oh, I would say about, well, from here to the shopping centre, what would you think that would be?
Probably about half a kilometre or something.
Not even
half a
quarter of a kilometre.
Right. Mm. Yeah. And there was another house there near that vagone?
There was a little house. That was of brick, actually. I don't know who built that. That's where Pioversen lived.
Right.
And that was opposite the vagone.
Yeah, and it was quite a centre that people came to.
Oh, yeah, that was the centre.
And what happened there?
Oh, that's where, as I said, at least twice a week, the men would go there of a night time. And Mum would be roasting some chestnuts, and the men would be singing, and it was lovely. I could still hear them singing.
Mm. And how many would have been there?
Oh, about 7 or 8 of them. Yeah, mostly bachelors, of course.
Oh, okay.
Yes. One by one they got their wives from Italy.
Yeah, because your uncle Vittorio eventually brought his wife.
And Pioversen did.
Yeah.
And, of course, Tonelato, he was married. He brought his wife and children over here. Then there was Zalonardo. He got married over here to an Italian girl. I don't know whether he knew her from Italy, I don't know, but anyhow, he met an Italian girl. And there was another Mr. Otto Rossetto. He used to come from the city to come down and spend the evening with these men, you know. Oh, they're all bachelors and they all knew each other.
Yeah, that would have been a really important social occasion.
Oh, it was, yes. Yeah. Oh, the singing was beautiful. I can still hear them singing. I feel as though, you know, I can remember them all standing up with their arms around each other's shoulders, you know, and singing away.
Oh, and would it have been outside?
No, inside the kitchen.
Of the Pioversen?
Of Pioversen kitchen.
So it's that sense of a community getting together.
Yes.
And where were the women? Well, some of them weren't here, of course.
No, my mother was the only woman there. There was another lady, Mrs. Rossetto, but she lived near in the Keel House.
On Findon Road.
And she'd come there with her little babies and a pram. And her husband would be one of the men in the choral singing.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. Talking about the Keels, we know that they were big landowners.
Yeah, they were very... we thought they were very classy too.
Did you?
Mm.
And you?
Mm.
Did you tell me you remembered going to pay the rent or?
Mr. Lyons or Lyons or Lyons. He lived on the corner of Findon Road and Grange Road, a lovely big house, and he'd come to pick the rent up
for the Keels.
For Keel. I don't know who it was for.
And do you know how much land that your father and uncle had?
I think altogether it might have been about 4 acres.
Right. Mm. Yeah. And if you remember at that time what the land around Frogmore Road looked like, can you describe it?
I know there was a dirt track from Grange Road down to Valletta Road, just a barbed wire fence on each side of the track. That's all I remember about it.
And
sand hills on one side.
So that would be on the western side, on the seaside?
The sand hills were on the western
side.
Were
they big?
Yes, we used to love jumping from the top down to the bottom of the sand.
Wow, so those sand hills are now where all that housing... was put by the trust?
I think they must have cleared some of the sand away because where the housing trust area is, that's quite flat.
Mm.
And when I lived on Fulham Gardens, we're a little bit higher. That's probably where the sand hills start to decline.
Yeah. And what about, if I think about the land that your parents and uncle were working on and they grew potatoes and onions and trombones and beetroot, like, can you remember what were the boundaries with other people's land? Were they bamboos at that time?
Some were bamboos, yeah, most, and boxthorn bushes.
Right. And I think you told me that... under the box horn.
We used to get these lovely buckets of mushrooms in the wintertime. It was wonderful.
And you'd take them home and your mum would cook them.
Yeah, cook them.
Yeah.
And then, they were lovely shaded areas in the summertime. I remember that, I don't know if you know about that hottest year, heard about the hottest year we had on record. I remember coming home from the city because there was a lady, Mrs. Rossetto, she asked me to go and be an interpreter for her when she took her little children to the hospital.
And how old would you have been?
Only about 9.
Wow.
And I remember coming home and Mum be sitting under the boxthorn bushes with the baby, the new baby then, and my other sister to get some shade.
Wow. They must have... you know, provided quite good shade because I understand they were quite high.
Yes.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. Sitting on chaff bags, bull ants everywhere. But they were happy.
And I remember you telling me, Lena, about there not being much money for your parents, and one of the things you remember was the when you said about the chaff, the chaff bags being unpicked for blankets.
Uncle had a horse, and he'd be buying the chaff, of course. So Mum would unpick the chaff bags and make rugs out of them. That was part of our linen, bed linen.
And did you have a cow?
No, we didn't have a cow there. We bought the cow when we went over to Lockleys.
Oh, well, we'll get to that in a moment. But I wanted to know, when you were living on Frogmore Road, you were probably school age.
Yes.
And can you tell me where you went to
Well, I
school?
went to school at Underdale State School.
And did you walk there?
Yes, we used to walk there, and that was on Holbrooks Road.
So that would have
Quite a
been quite a
walk, quite a
walk.
walk, yes.
Gosh.
Especially in the winter time, it was
And what was
freezing.
that? Yeah, I can imagine. What was that walk like? Did you walk along roads or across
No,
people's
across.
properties?
No, it was mostly paddock, yes, paddocks.
So it would be muddy if it was wet.
Yes, it was wet. I remember the freezing feet.
Gee.
Frosty mornings,
And would you go with other people?
Yes, there was the Tonelato boys and Rosina, but sometimes we'd go together, sometimes we went on our own, but yes, they were in the same school until the priest from Hindmarsh convinced Mum to send me to the Catholic school. So I went to the Catholic school then in Hindmarsh.
And did you still, how did you get to Hindmarsh? Did you still walk?
We walked to the to where the ba tram started on the corner of Grange Road and Crichton Road. Do you know Crichton Road?
Yes, yeah, the
That's where the
diagonal one.
that's where yes, that's where the bus or the tram started, and we walked to the tram.
Wow, so
But
that.
we'd often get lifts by motorists going along Grange Road. We weren't frightened, No, I forget lifts. But
Gee.
sometimes we walked.
Yeah. And Lena, did you speak Italian at home?
Yes, our dialect.
Your dialect from Northern Italy, from the Veneto.
Yes.
And so when you went to school, did you know English?
Oh, yes.
So
Because
who
I
would
grew
you?
up with Australian girls in Waymouth Street. All my playmates were Australian. I think I grew up with the two languages, like most of us did
Yeah,
then.
yeah. And then you were also asked to be interpreter by some people.
Then yes, quite often.
To doctors and
Yeah, well, this lady in particular, yes, a doctor in the children's hospital, and for my uncle, at the taxation office when he had to do his income tax. No, I didn't know what he was talking about,
big
I
responsibility.
was, yes.
Yeah.
I remember once the tax, the one that was talking to us said to me, "You're not telling lies, are you?" I said, "No, I don't think they believed me when I said, Dad, Uncle wasn't making much money, and I had to tell him there wasn't much money, and you're not telling me lies, are you?" I said, "No."
Oh, that's hard on a little girl,
Was,
isn't it?
yes.
And why, can you say a little bit about the money situation? Why was your uncle
Well.
not making much?
Well, by the time he had to botch half the horse, and then he wasn't a very good businessman, Uncle. He was careless with the money. No, there wasn't much money. Sometimes he couldn't sell them because everybody grew the same vegetable. But I remember they're going to the market with him, 4 o'clock at all. Even earlier than 4 o'clock in the morning. It was lovely. We'd go and have breakfast with all these market gardeners in Hindley Street. Porridge, and that was something new to me, and sausages and eggs, and that was lovely.
Must have been quite an
Oh, it was
adventure.
quite an adventure, yes.
And I was thinking also about the time, it was the Depression years and
Yes.
hard times, so
There were hard times, yes.
maybe it
My
was a bit.
father was lucky that he had his brother-in-law that gave him a job. He worked, I don't know if he worked 5 days a week or not, but I know he worked on the terrazzo business, and he shared the money with my uncle, and my uncle would share the market proceeds, which wasn't very good then.
And your father must have worked so hard, Lena.
Well, he did. He used to ride the push bike into town every morning, and and then he got asthma, and he still went to work. But then on when we were living on Pearson Street, he gave up the terrazzo. He was able to stay home then.
Can you tell me about moving from Frogmore Road to Lockleys? What was the situation in your family?
Well, when my uncle married and his wife came to Australia, I think Dad said then, well, now he's got his wife to look after him, to help him, and they can work. I don't think it was enough for two families, actually, because I think they started having their children too. And so Dad said, we'll go over to Lockleys.
And that was, you thought that you were around 12 when
I was 12
that happened?
Yes.
Yeah. So quite a big change, really.
Well, you take everything in your stride. I didn't take much notice of it. You know.
Yeah. And I remember you telling me about when the war started, and
Dad had his ears glued to the little tiny radio, listening to the shortwave, hear the Italian news about Mussolini, and then they'd buy the paper, and Dad wanted me to read the paper to him, and I couldn't understand what these things were about the war. And he'd say, oh, you're in grade 3 or something, and you can't understand. I used to get upset because I couldn't explain the war situation.
Mm, and it would have been complex information for a little girl.
Of course it was.
But your dad was very keen to know.
He was keen to know, yes.
Did your father become and your mother become naturalised before the war?
Yes, yes.
And do you know why...
They're still interested, though, in their own home country, of course.
Oh, yes. Do you know why they would have become naturalised?
Oh, I think it was the thing in those days that people became naturalised, yes.
So by that time, they'd obviously decided that they were going to stay.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was when they were on the market garden. But while they were living in the city in Weymouth Street, my mother told me that she was putting up some curtains and she was having difficulty. And then she said, oh, well, why bother? We're going back in a couple of years. So she put the curtains aside. And this is, she died when she was 97. She was 21 when she came to Australia.
Wow, such a long life.
So they didn't go back, never went back.
Your mother wasn't interested to go back?
No, she would have liked to have gone back to see her father, because her mother died when she was quite young. And her brothers wanted to take my mother back to see the father, but Mum, perhaps she panicked, and she got ill, and now she said, I'm not going. And then her father died, and that was the end of her. She never wanted to go back anymore.
And do you think she felt settled here in
Australia?
Yes,
she was happy here. Yes, she was happy.
What was the kind of life like, you know, in the city of Adelaide? Because you were living in boarding houses rather than your family house, is that right?
Yes, and then we had a little... that was where, in the beginning, in the boarding house. But then Mum and Dad, they went on their own into little cottages, you know, those little cottages in the...
Oh, okay. And they would have rented them?
You rented them.
Yeah.
And as I said... From Sturt Street, they'd go to Gilbert Street, and from Gilbert Street to Weymouth Street, because the rent was probably 6 months cheaper, because the rent was only about 15 shillings a week then, and 6 months was quite a lot of money.
Yes, yeah, you could probably buy quite a bit of food for that amount.
Yes.
Yeah. And again, it's the Depression years,
the Depression
isn't it?
Years, they were, yeah.
Did you go to school in the city?
I went to Franklin Street.
Right, to St. Mary's.
St. Mary's.
And you would have walked there?
Walked across there.
Yeah. And were there many other Italian families living in
yes.
the city at that time?
Yes, there was Leonora, Johnny's wife's auntie. She was a great friend of my mother. In fact, she was my sponsor for confirmation too.
Oh.
Her great friends.
And what was her name?
Anita Guglielmi.
Right.
Yes. She was lovely. Yeah. They all lived near each other.
So again...
And they'd be together all day long. They used to go to each other's houses, or mainly to Conchi's. To, I don't know if you know Conchi's furniture?
Yes.
Well, the mother was a good dressmaker. And so she'd be making all the little dresses and knickers for us children. And they'd all go there to help her with the sewing. And they loved it, you know, they loved their little gatherings.
Ah, it would have been a real community.
All in Waymouth Street.
Oh, right. And your parents would have shopped at Crotty's?
Crotty's, yes.
Do you remember going there?
Oh, yes.
And what was that shop like? Because that was a grocer shop.
Yes, they had everything that we wanted, yes.
Did they have it, food imported from Italy?
Yes.
What kind of food?
Oh, all the cheeses and the salamis and they had all those things, yes.
Mm.
And then the Australian food, you know, sugar. I don't know, what else? I know, I used to go... and do the shopping. Sometimes I'd go by bus or tram and do the shopping.
Yeah.
But then one of the Grotty boys, when they bought a car, I suppose, he'd come round to the different farms and pick up the order every week and then deliver.
This is Frogmore Road.
Frogmore Road.
Ah. Mm. Oh.
Yeah. Pastas. I think Grotty's got their own pasta factory.
Mm.
San Remo's, this Crotty's.
So they've had a long history of
yes.
Being in Adelaide.
Oh yes, they have.
Yeah.
Yes, they did well.
Yeah, and you were telling me about the kind of social events on Frogmore Road, and you remember one of the Keel girls who entertained.
Yes,
can you tell me about that?
She'd organise these little plays, and I remember one was about King Alfred and when he burnt the cakes. Do you know the story of King Alfred?
No.
Yeah, he made cakes and he burnt them, and he was scolded by his mother. That was the story, and she'd be acting all this. I think she was the only actress.
And where did she hold her little plays?
At her place, on Rouse Road or Findon Road.
Right. Mm. And we were saying that we think she was probably the granddaughter of Edward Keel.
I think she would have been the granddaughter. Oh, yes, I'm pretty sure she was granddaughter.
Because you remember that Edward Keel had a pretty big house close to the river?
Yes.
And then she lived with her family a bit closer to Grange Road.
Grange Road. Yeah.
And how would you have known her? Did you go to school with her?
I suppose I would have met her through going to Underdale State School. Yes.
Mm.
That's how I would have met her. But then we all played together in those days. We all knew each other.
Mm.
We'd have letter boxes in the middle of the... on the border of different gardens or vegetable gardens, and I'd write a letter to my friend and I'd go and post it in that letterbox, and then my friend would come and pick up the letter and put her letter in for me to go and collect, and that's how we communicated too sometimes, just for fun.
Isn't that sweet?
Mm.
And what sort of things would you do on weekends and when it was holidays? Like, you told me you didn't have to work in the gardens.
Mm. I would be just home with mum. Different neighbours, I forget. We used to play knuckle bones in those days. You know, just played cowboys and Indians with all the children. We all came in together, you know.
Yeah. There would have been lots of hidey places.
Yes, and I was always caught, and I was going to be burnt to the stake by the bad Indian, and then the good cowboy would save me, you know, and I was so good. It was so funny.
Yeah.
And then on the sand hills, we used to enjoy playing on the sand hills. And that's how we spent all our weekends, I suppose.
Mm.
And then Tonelato's had a little... I don't know what you'd call it, a sulky, do you call it a sulky little trap with one horse?
Yeah.
And he'd often take us down to the beach on that.
Along Grange Road?
Along Grange Road.
Mm. And there'd be a whole lot of you, I guess,
no,
in
there? Well, no, only myself and the Tonelato girl. And mainly the girls used to take us. Mm.
Oh, that would have been lovely.
It was lovely going along Grange Road in this little trap. Oh, what they call it? I forgot what they called it.
Yeah. And do you remember much about what Grange Road looked like at the time then? Like, were there many houses along Grange
Road? No, they're mostly buckthorn bushes on either side.
Going down to the beach?
The beach, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And as you said, the tram stopped at Critton Road. Which suggests that there wasn't a lot of housing west of there.
No, there wasn't there, no.
And were there farms, other farms and...
No, they're just big paddocks with boxthorn bushes.
And no gum trees?
No gum trees.
So they'd been cleared, probably?
Well, there weren't any then.
Wow. And did you have chooks at your place?
Yes, of course. We had chooks, yes.
And what?
We lived well.
Did you?
We had eggs and chickens and lovely... Mum used to make lovely pasta with the eggs. And I think we must have had a milkman bring him... Oh, yes, because there was a milkman across the road from us on Frogmore Road, Fewings. Have you heard of him?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
That's interesting because he was someone who leased land from Keel.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and his father, would have been the father, he was a blacksmith on Findon Road on the other side of Grange Road.
Oh, right.
He was a blacksmith.
And the milkman, he didn't have a dairy.
I think he must have had something. I don't know where he got the milk from. I don't know. He gave us the milk.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. And what about grapevines and wine? Did your parents make wine?
They used to make it. They used to go and pick it from these vineyards that they do now, I think.
Where would the vineyards have been?
Ranella, down that way.
That would have been a pretty long way to go.
I suppose whoever sold them delivered it.
Right.
Delivered the grapes. They made their own wine.
And did you have a cellar?
No, they used to bottle their wine.
And did your parents also do the pig each year?
They did sometimes, not
for
very
salami.
Often then.
Yeah.
I think that came later. I think it might have been a bit of a luxury, the pigs.
I guess it would have, yes, and quite
expensive probably
to buy.
Mm.
Did your father buy a car or a truck or...?
No, poor Dad, he bought a van, which he had converted into a little utility, backboard we used to call them then, backboard or backboard. And while he was having that done, he died in hospital and he didn't live to see see that lovely backboard that he'd bought,
oh.
that he'd had made. It was an enclosed van, you know, I don't know if I can explain it.
Yes.
And he had it made into a backboard.
Oh.
And then it had to be sold later to somebody else. Because he didn't live to see it.
No.
That was the only one he ever had.
Oh, so he would have...
Always rode the pushbike.
Oh, gosh. So you remember moving from Frogmore Road when you were about 12.
Yes.
So we said that would have been, say, 1939,
something
around
like
that time.
Yes.
And when your parents moved,
mm-hmm.
Pearson Avenue didn't have houses.
No,
on it.
No,
and how much land would your parents have?
I think
he
had 8 acres.
Right.
On Pearson Street.
And did they have glass houses there?
That's when they bought the glass houses.
So that would have meant that they could have increased the kind of vegetables that they were growing?
Then it was mainly tomatoes, because the glass houses kept them busy. Tomato and beans.
Right.
But we didn't have potatoes anymore then.
Mm. And did your parents build a house there?
Well, they pulled the house down from Frogmore Road and then rebuilt it on Pearson Street, the same house.
So how did they get
that?
That's
the
one
in
the photo?
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did they get all the pieces of...
I suppose a horse and cart, I suppose.
Wow, what a big project.
Mm, yeah.
So I wonder where you lived while it was being built.
I don't know. That's the amazing part.
Yeah.
Probably in a little shack, you know, they had a shack somewhere there.
And how long after you moved there did your father die?
He died in 1945.
Right.
So he died in 1939.
So you moved in, say, 39, about 6 years.
Mm,
so that's interesting, that 39 to 45 is the time of the World War II years,
yes.
isn't it?
Yeah, that's why he was interested in the war.
Yeah, and he hoped that you would be able to tell him what
was
happening.
What was
Do you remember much about the experience of the war? Like, was it talked about at school?
No, all I remember, we had coupons to buy butter and... milk and meat, I think, clothing. We had coupons.
Right.
And there was a family next door to us. They had a lot of little children and they didn't use all the coupons, so they'd give them to Mum. So we had plenty.
And this is when you're on Pearson?
On Pearson Street. We live well.
And was it at Pearson Street you told me that your parents got a cow?
That's when we had the cow, yes.
So that would have helped with butter and milk?
Oh, butter and cream. We had plenty of jam and cream, so beautiful.
Mm. And did your mum make cheese?
Yes, she made the cheese.
Would that have been like a soft cheese?
Oh, she let it dry. You know, it was a whitish cheese.
Right. Yeah. And you would have been going to school.
But she used mostly the butter, though.
Oh,
used
right.
a lot of butter in the cooking.
Yeah, nice rich food.
Lovely pasta sauce.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you would have been going to school.
That's when I was going to Hindmarsh Catholic School.
Right.
I used to ride the pushbike.
To Hindmarsh.
Mm.
You would have been pretty fit.
Fit, yeah, yes. Yes.
And you continued at school until...
I did my intermediate.
Yeah. And then when you finished your intermediate...
I worked in an office for a while, which I didn't like. And then poor Dad got sicker. So Mum asked me to stay home and help her in the garden. So I stayed home. And I worked for Mum in the garden for about 4 or 5 years until she built a house. She put a lovely house on Lascock Avenue. And then... I was out of a job then.
I remember you telling me that there were a few other girls around your age
yes.
who were doing work on their parents' market gardens,
Yes.
and you had a great
Oh,
social
yeah, we
time.
did. We said love it. In fact, there's only one left though, and we ring each other up now. She lives in Gawler, and we always talk about those days. Yes.
And you would have worked hard, Lena.
Oh, yes. When I was in Pearson Street, I did work hard there.
How many glass houses?
16.
And all with tomatoes and
All
beans,
tomatoes
depending
and
on the
beans.
season.
Season, yeah. And I remember when the frost used to come, Mum and I would be up at 2 o'clock in the morning to wash the frost off the glass, because that would have burnt the tips of the tomato plants. So we'd hose them off with the hose water, and that saved the crops. Because in those days it was, I don't know about now, but I don't see frost around now. But then we'd have lots of frosty weather, and they'd cover the grass with ice. So we had to melt the ice with the water. It's 2 o'clock in the morning,
Wow. You go back to
you know.
bed and
It
then
was
have to get up again. Did you go to
hard work.
market then?
No, we had these people at the East End Market, East End Market, and they'd pick up the tomatoes, cases. I used to help Mum, because she used to send them to Melbourne, and she'd have to, we'd pack the tomatoes in the boxes and put the lids on and stamp our name and address on them. I used to help that. And then the I forget now who it was. It was Mr. Dowd. He used to pick up the boxes of tomatoes for Mum and take them to the market in town, and they'd send them off to Melbourne.
Gee.
It's a bit hazy, but that's as far as I can remember.
And then you decided after a number of years working in the garden to do
When Mum,
something.
after 5 years, Mum built her house,
Right.
and then I got married, and
But before you got married, you had quite an interesting working life.
yes, dressmaking. Because Mum said to me, because I used to love clothes, well, she said, if you want like clothes, then I should have to learn to make them. So I went to learn dressmaking.
Where did you go?
I went to Shell House in North Terrace.
And was that like a training place
Training.
for young women?
Yes. And
And so you would have learnt to cut,
cut and
draft.
draft. And the lady who ran that, what was her name? I forget now, Mrs. Anyhow, she, once I'd finished learning, or the course, she rang one of my aunties up and said, would I like a job at from Mrs. Quigley in North Terrace? So I went there and got a job there.
And what were you doing there?
Cutting and designing. I was lucky through this, what was her name? I forget her name. Anyhow, it was a big factory, Quigley's factory,
Oh, okay. And what
sewing
did they make?
dresses. Well, there was about 100 girls sewing in Shell House in North Terrace.
Wow, 100.
Yeah,
Gee.
yes.
And were they like dresses that were sold in places like John Martin's
Yes,
or Myer?
Myers, yeah, Kathleen Hecker. They were the exclusive ones. And there I met the niece of the lady who owned the factory. And we got on well together. So we said, let's start on our own. So we got a shop out at Prospect.
On Prospect
Prospect
Road.
Road.
Whereabouts on Prospect Road was it?
Near the Rosary Church,
Oh, right, you're
just
down
near there.
there. And how old were you?
Oh, I would have been 21, 22, something like that.
So you were a businesswoman. And
she was a business girl because her auntie said, now don't so cheap. Make sure you get good money for your dresses, you know. So we charged quite a bit. Because one lady came to the door one day and said, how much we charged for a dress, to make a dress. And we said, 3 guineas. And she said, does that include the material? And I said, no, that was for making it. So we got good money. I did well.
Yeah.
I did well.
Did you have the rolls of fabric there, or did people bring their own
fabric?
And you had some interesting clients.
Yes, we had lots of nurses from the children's hospital and doctors' wives that lived in the area. It was quite a wealthy suburb.
Mm.
We only got the rich ones because we were charging so much.
Mm. So that would have been interesting.
It was good. Mm.
And what did your mum think of you having this, job?
Oh, she's quite proud. She's proud of me, yes. Yeah, she was.
And meanwhile, Maria was at home with your mum.
With mum.
And then Connie
was... she was...
she would have still been at school, maybe?
Yes, to school.
Because she was 11 years younger than you?
Yes.
And for how long were you working in that shop with your friend?
About 4 years, because we both got married then.
And
so
that
we sold the shop, the business, to another friend of ours, who we'd met at the same factory where we were all cutting together.
So you would have had very good skills, wouldn't you, from that experience?
Oh, yes. In fact, the boss, he was sorry that I left. You know, he's, I'm sorry you are leaving because you had a good future here. But I thought the future was better with my girlfriend sewing together. You know, we used to enjoy each other's company.
It must have been a lot of fun.
Fun, yes, it was.
And you would have worked together to get the jobs done.
Yeah, we got on well together.
Yeah.
And yes.
And at 25, did you marry?
Yes.
And did you tell me that you made your own
wedding dress? Yes. And the bridesmaids, yes.
Wow. And that would have been quite beautiful, I imagine.
Well, I had 3 girls that copied it later.
And it was your design.
Do you want to have a look at it?
I'll have a look at it after. Yeah, I'd love to.
Mm.
And they copied it because they thought it was so beautiful.
One borrowed mine. And the other two copied them.
Oh.
They loved it.
Wow. And you married Ruggiero, who came from Istria,
yes.
Which is close to Italy, isn't it?
Yes, I think it was about 2 hours boat trip from Venice, straight across from Venice.
Right.
He came from.
Yeah. And Lena, you've been a number of times to Italy, haven't you?
Yes, 5 times.
5 times. And your parents kept in contact with their relatives, didn't they?
Yes.
Through all those years? Yeah,
until, of course, one by one they died. My auntie, my father's sister, is still alive, believe it or not. Yes, she's still alive, the youngest girl. She's still a lover. She's in a nursing home, of course.
And you've been to visit those relatives, haven't you? And what was that experience like?
Lovely. Yeah, they were pleased to see me too. And Roger's people were very good to us too. They were wealthy, more wealthy than the other, than my mother's side of the family, but. In fact, my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law wanted me to go there for holiday now after Roger died. And they said, I'll do you good. So I'll pay your fare. You want to come, you know, but I didn't want to go.
No.
I'd been 5 times, and I couldn't go without Roger.
Yes, yeah.
It wouldn't be the same.
And you have 3 sons?
3 sons.
And have they been to Italy?
Yes, so 2 have been, and 1's over there at the moment.
Wow. Mm. And have they met the Marchi Oro relatives?
No, because none of the Marchi Oro speak English.
Right,
so,
yeah.
And my boys, none of them speak Italian, so there's no point. Whereas on Roger's side, they all speak English, they all learned English at school.
So that makes it
easier.
Yeah.
And at the moment, I think my son's in Sorrento now.
Oh, how beautiful.
And on his way to Canada,
where
he's got his daughter.
Oh, that's lovely. And Lena, we're coming to an end now, and you talked about your parents arriving in 1926 full of hope. And do you think that their hopes were realised?
Yes, I'm sure. But then Dad got ill. That was the sad part. He didn't live to enjoy.
Yes.
What he had. But Mum had a lovely house.
And a long life.
And she loved her grandchildren, and my father would have loved them too. And he didn't see meet any of them.
No. And when you look back in your life, it must be quite amazing that you think of your parents as those young people.
Yes, yes.
1926. Mm. Mm. Thank you, Lena. Thank you very much.
Thank you.